Welcome to the Interactive Media Network, the home of the I Am Radio TV Network. And today, we are proud to present to you the new show, The Hypnotic Interventionist, with your host, Jeffrey Miller, renowned author, professional speaker, and strategic intervention coach. Now, get ready to go. Interactive.
Well, hello to the entire world. Good afternoon from the northeast of the United States. And I'd like to give a shout out to all the corners of the world listening today. I understand we've got New Zealand, we've got the UK, we've got the western part of the US, we've got Canada, and I know we have Canada listening. So it is wonderful to be here, folks. Thank you so very much. And I have to take a moment and thank you all. This is the third of the new show, The Hypnotic Interventionist on the I Am Radio TV Network. And I am Jeffrey Miller, also known as the Hypnotic Interventionist himself. And I am very pleased to be here. But I'd like to just take that moment again and say thank you, thank you, thank you. The show of confidence that you folks have had so far in the show is fantastic. The comments that are coming back, the amount of folks that are listening and listening to the replays, you know, you may not be available to hear the live, you might not be available to call in, because you're working or you're doing something or busy with your family. And we all appreciate that. All our show hosts appreciate that and understand that. But you are taking time to, you know, hear the replays, and that's fantastic as well. Now, if you do get an opportunity to do that, and I trust you will, and if you do, as I said, please do not hesitate to go on to our page on Facebook and ask any questions you may have about any of our shows, actually, on the I Am Radio TV Network. We are here to answer questions for you. We will see those messages. If there's something particular that you heard that sparks your interest and you'd like it discussed on a future show, you'd like to be a guest on a future show to be able to call in, that's also great. So, again, thank you so very much. We are humbled by the response we've had since the launch of the I Am Radio TV Network, the Interactive Media Network. So today we've got a various array of subjects to talk about when it comes to your mind. And as most of you know that have heard the show before and know of me as a coach, you know that I wrote a signature program that I call the 21 Days to Change Your Mind. And it's quite interesting that it's been so successful. And I'm extremely proud of that. It almost still gives me goosebumps when the hair raises up on my arms. I mean, it's just when I work with a client and we guide that client, we together, meaning the client and I, do this together. It's not a one-man thing here. It's not just me saying something to a client. It's that I have taken the time over the last 5+ years to get the experience necessary from the best of the best to help you change your mind, to help you remove yourself from the veil of low self-esteem, debilitating beliefs, negative self-talk, and just some of those old habits that have crept in year after year that you just say, why do I act that way? Why do I feel this way? So again, I am humbled and the hair raises on my arms and I feel that little twinge of my backbone when I have guided and assisted a person, a client, to that change. And their lights come on and they look at me and they go, wow. Just recently, it happened again, and each time is just another monumental reason for the why, the big W-H-Y, I am a coach, and the coach is me. And I've said that before. You know, I became the coach, and the coach became me. It is a unison, so to speak, of my mind's ability to comprehend and to feel and to see over Skype, by the way. This is not, you know, none so far. Well, I take that back. I did have one session about 3 years ago that was face to face in living color with a lovely lady. And we did a very quick run through of this, like a shortened version. And for what she was looking to accomplish, it just took care of it in about 20, 30 minutes. So, but what is 21 Days to Change Your Mind? Well, you know, scientifically, and that seems to be the word that's being used a lot lately these days, is on the scientific level, from a psychological profile, you know, with psychologists and doctors working together to try to, you know, what is this magnificent thing between your two ears that we all have that quite often they say a lot of us don't use. Well, that's not to be funny and it's not to be putting anybody down. really, we don't. We don't use all of it. It's an amazing thing. We've got this wondrous supercomputer, and I look at it that way because it is so immense in capability that scientifically they still don't know. I was on a show last night out of L.A. as a special guest about manifesting, and what does it mean as a hypnotherapist, which I am, NLP practitioner, and a strategic interventionist. The combination of those three is what the 21 Days to Change Your Mind is. So what I was asked specifically, what is it that people are having such a difficult time trying to become who they really want to be? And it's a pervasive question, and I'll tell you why. It's not an easy, there's no easy button on that one, because if you think about just, and I don't want you to close your eyes on the freeway driving down the road if you're listening to me, you know, in your car, please don't do that. However, if you're home and you've got a moment, or you're working and you've got your headset on, just take a moment to relax and think about the issues that kick you in the butt. We all have a bunch of them. Even after, you know, life is such, they say, but if there's something, and I say but because there's the but, right? So let me rephrase that. However, if you had the opportunity to eliminate that issue, the first thing came to your mind, would you take the opportunity? Would you really want to do it? Could you say, yes, I do. I want to get in touch, and I want to have a free consultation with you, Jeff, and I want to know. I want to feel the difference. I want my lights to come on. I don't want to live life this way anymore. This is depressing. This is just not the way it is, and I don't even know what it is, but this is what I feel it is. Well, if you really feel that, and I'm going to say this to you several times today, but I'd like you to start out right now thinking about this. Would you write it down? Could you just take a moment to grab a pen and a piece of paper, jot it on the back of an envelope, open up your laptop, and write it down. This is my issue. This is my big issue. This is the thing that's kicking me right now. And if you think you've got more, okay, you may want to write them down, but you don't have to right at this minute. Just write down that one that popped into your mind first. And when you've done that, and I'm going to give you some time to do this because I'm going to bring it up again, and I hope we'll have some callers. I'm going to put out the call number here in just a minute, and you may want to get on air and talk to me about it and say, hey, this is my issue. These are the things that I'd like to change. Now, considering you've done that, and if you have, would you please now think about five or six things that will now change in your life exponentially. As a result, I mean, go to that happy place and say, yes, I can do the happy dance because I kicked the habit. I did it. And I've even had people say, oh, you helped me with quit smoking? Yes, I'll help you quit smoking, drinking, etc. But, you know, typically people say, oh, I kicked the habit, and they think it's, you know, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. But this is a habit that you have in your mind that has something more to do with your past. You may not even be sure what it is. But again, go back now. Five or six things that you can jot down, one-liner sentences, one word if you want to. Could be money. It could be happiness. It could be relationship. Could be anything you feel that is going to change as a result exponentially because this issue is now eradicated. It's gone. It doesn't exist. It isn't going to bother you anymore. If you can do that, and you can go to my page, www.21daystochangeyourmind.com. Sign in. There is a page where you can go and actually fill that in, and it'll be submitted to me. And I will get it, and I will set up a time with you, and we will spend a half an hour. We'll go over it. No cost. No investment, as we say, at this point, okay? The time is going to be the investment. You've got to want to change your mind. You've got to want to do this. And if you don't want to do it, then there's nothing I can do. The only person that can help you make that decision is you. I cannot hold your hand. I can't twist your arm. Nobody can. Because, you know, quite often, you don't know what you don't know. You may believe you know what the reason is, but you maybe will find that you didn't know what the reason was. But the bottom line is, there's got to be a desire. And that desire has to be strong enough. They call it a white hot burning flame of desire. That's pretty hot. Matter of fact, white hot is like the hottest hot we know, at least scientifically we know. But you think of a hot flame. that's got to be that hard a desire that you're going to want to change your mind. And that's monumental to a lot of people. And the why is pretty crazy, because sometimes we wish to stay with the same old versus the change, because we know what the same old is. You may not like it. It may cause you to act wrongly. It may cause issues in your life, your relationship with your children, with your friends, your parents, whatever, whomever. But you know what? A lot of people will not change because it's more comfortable to stay with what they know than deal with what they don't know. Let me say that again. It's more comfortable for more people than not to stay with what they know, regardless of how much it should be changed, than to change and go to the unknown. Even though the unknown is going to be amazing, you just don't know it yet. Your mind does not know it. You can say up in the frontal cortex of your mind and your thought process up front, the conscious thoughts, hey, I want to change. Isn't that what a New Year's resolution is all about? I want to change. Well, great. I'm going to stop eating so much food. I'm going to cut my portions in half, and I want to lose 10 pounds. How long is that going to last? If you're lucky and you're really one of the survivors in the New Year's resolution thing, you might make it a couple of months. You might make it a couple of months. Well, let me tell you, if you do, you're in the extreme percentile that actually do, because most people don't even make it a few days. The numbers are somewhere around 85 to 90% on an average don't make it longer than a week trying to change their mind just using your conscious brain. Pretty sad odds. And that why, again, is because it's too easy for you to stay in the paradigm, as they call it, the comfort level. Even though it's not comfortable, even though it kicks your butt, it's too easy for you to stay there and just live with it. Because you can then go to the same old, same old. You can wake up in the morning, you can say the same thing, you go brush your teeth, you use the facility, you have some breakfast, you throw down a cup of coffee. Reminds me of the song from the Beatles, dragged a comb across my head. You know, that type of thing. It's the same thing day in and day out. Is that really the way you want to live your life? Only you can answer that question. Those that have come to me, countless hundreds now over the last 5+ years, they want to. I designed that question because that provokes your unconscious mind. What's your big pervasive issue that you would really like to change? It makes you think. You have to cross the boundary. You have to bust through the firewall between the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. The working center of the brain is in the back. Okay, you have to get through it. And it's like, if you want to think of it like a computer, and a lot of people like to think about computers these days, and they go, well, gee, you know, I have a new computer and it does this and this and this. We purchased a new one for my business I guess it was last week. And I'm using it right now for the show. And it's fantastic. It took me a little bit to get used to, and I didn't like it. I had to make a change. I was used to my old computer, my comfortable, worn-in old computer, even though it was acting up. And I mean, it was really acting up. It was going to blue screen, if you know what that means. I didn't know what it meant because I'm not a computer person, but I know how to turn it on and how to get it done, what it needs to get done for me. I know all my files are on that old computer, pictures for different, you know, posts I use and make, you know, and do for 21 Days to Change Your Mind and the hypnotic interventions and my personal stuff as well. But that said, it was very uncomfortable. As much as I knew I had to make that decision, did it have to be a white hot burning desire to get a new computer? Yeah. The why is because I went to blue screen 3 times, and when I called the technician, he said, "Guess what's going to happen next? You're going to lose everything." What? What do you mean I'm going to lose everything? Can I just reboot the computer and get it going? You might if you're lucky. Very lucky. Chances are you won't, because once it's done that, it's ready to die. The process is dying. It's going to leave this earth, so to speak, and you will lose everything. We'll have to bring it in and tear apart your hard drive off it, and that's going to cost you a bunch of coin. I said, oh, my goodness, it's going to cost me more to do that than go buy a new computer. So guess what we did? We took a drive to the city, we waited, and we went to a couple of different places, and we checked out what different computers were, the newest stuff. I knew pretty much what we needed to do, what the advancements are with the programs, et cetera. we bought a new computer because I had to do it. But as I said, it was very uncomfortable for me. You know what they say about teaching an old dog new tricks? Sometimes you can't do it. Well, I had to learn. I had to be shown. I had to have patience. I had to ask questions. And I had to be allowing. I had to open it up and allow my unconsciousness to say, yes, it's time to make a change. Even about something as silly as a computer. Well, your brain's no different. And you do have a firewall in your brain as well. And that firewall blocks a lot of stuff. It also retains a lot. It's part of who you are from your earliest moments of inception. The heart is the first thing that starts ticking in the body. The brain comes right along after it. They say there's 18 inches of separation in U.S. measurement. 18 inches of separation between the heart and the brain. And they work together all the time. Because when you have a gut feeling, they're talking about that. If something's going on in your life that doesn't feel good, and you had a gut reaction to it, you got tingles and it didn't feel good, quite often it stirred something up. Something has happened that you have visually seen or felt that causes that reaction. And that reaction really is what we call emotion. And we go to the emotion based on what we see, feel, or hear. Okay? That's exactly what it is. The senses take place. Sometimes it's about what we smell, too. If you smelt smoke, you might go to the reaction of, oh my gosh, there's a fire somewhere. Is it here? Do I need to start bailing out? Do I need to run out the door? Do I need to grab the kids or grab clothes? What is it? There's many things you can think of in that regard. Many people have witnessed it and felt it, so you probably know exactly what I'm saying, and it goes to a feeling even now. Why? It's because it's retained memory. That is what protects this body that we walk around in. This existence that we have as human beings on this planet needs to be protected. So why do we hurt the brain? Why do we hurt the body so much? And a lot of people do, and I'm sure you know of people. Some people might say, yeah, that's me. I've done that. And I was able to not do it. I learned somehow, luckily, with a lot of help in my past to overcome it. There's a lot of people still walking around with the pain, the agony, the heartache of the past. On the exterior, they look wonderful. They have a hard shell turtle finish, as they say, all spit polished and looking great. But inside, how do you really feel? And are you happy with that? Is that something you really want to get? Most people would honestly look at me and say, no, I don't. I would like to get rid of it. But again, how much desire do you have? What is your level from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, that you would really go to the page www.21daystochangeyourmind.com and fill that form out? Now, it's entirely up to you. The investment, I said again, and I'm hitting you right over the head on this one right up front today, because a lot of people from the last show said, well, I kind of think I'd like to do that. And some even said they would sign up, but they didn't. That unfortunately doesn't bother me any longer, because I can't let it. It's your life. It's your mind. It's your responsibility. It is not mine. I am here to offer it to you. And it's like a gift right now if you choose to accept it. The consultation, the discovery session, is going to cost you nothing but your time. From there, you will make your own decision whether you choose to go forward. It'll be discussion. There'll be no hypnosis. There'll be nothing else in the first session. That is a discovery session. That's to see what it is that you wrote on your questionnaire, that big one big pervasive issue and the five or six things that will change exponentially as a result. And from there, you will make up your mind. Do you want to do something about it once you have an understanding that you can? And isn't that not possibly what it is, folks? We don't think we can change that we don't know, because you don't know sometimes. And if you think you do know what it is, and you do have a conscious memory of a time past in your life from your earliest memory till today, and you have a feeling of what that is, you don't go to it every moment when something goes down in your life during your day. Consciously, and this is where it gets a little tricky. Consciously, you don't, but unconsciously, you do. So if you had a bad day and you thought about it, would it be something to do with how you might have been provoked? How the trigger went? We call it the trigger. is something that happens that triggers that emotion that comes forward from the unconscious. It blasts through the firewall, comes to the conscious mind, and causes the body to go into, oh, whoa, I need to stop. I need to think. I need to react. And ultimately, because you need to react and the body says you need to, it's like the fight or flight syndrome, you in a way that you might not have normally. We've all had it happen. I am certainly no exception. And in some cases, I may be preaching to the choir because some folks that are on this call have probably either been through my program or something similar with a coach, and they have tackled this situation. So it's interesting. I had a client not long ago ask me and said, how can I change my past? I have to change my past. I don't want to live with that past anymore. I know what it is. I know what happened to me. I know how it makes me feel. Well, much to her surprise, my answer was, you can't. She said, excuse me? Looking really perplexed at me on Skype. I mean, this was like, what? What do you mean I can't? So I had to explain to her, your past is just that, the past, bad and indifferent, that you've lived right up to this second. The present is the present. And now what you focus on is to realize that your past has brought you right to where you are in this very moment in your existence. And if you think about that for a minute, folks, just to get away from the what I had said, it is true. It is all true. Who you are today is totally based on whom you have been every moment of your past, even to where you can't remember, right from the womb, actually, okay? So if we think about it a little further, so to understand, there is a lot that you would not change when you really think about it because you don't know it. And so there has to be an understanding. And that which you would are as the tools to build your future. So if you knew what to change, you would use them as the tools, the building blocks, to build yourself a new future from this moment forward. The present is what would be changed. You would now make a decision here in the present to change what's going to happen in your life in the future. So here's the bottom line. You can change that which does not serve you. You can change those debilitating beliefs. You can change your self-talk. You can change your belief system that is causing you ultimately what we call low self-esteem. And when you do, oh, wow, life changes and your outlook of it changes. And again, I'll use the word exponentially, meaning boom, firecrackers, fireworks. It is that much of a change. If you were to speak with any of my clients, you would know that. It is quite amazing when they see and feel this change. Now, I've been called a miracle worker, that I'm not, okay? I don't walk on water. Though that would be fun, wouldn't it, actually, when I think of it. And there are some in the hypnotic field that say they have the ability. I don't know. I don't know them personally, but that would be funny. That said, think about what's now been discussed. And it's quite interesting what it comes down to. And ultimately, what it comes down to is you need to know and feel what you are worth. So it appears to me I have a caller in the queue, folks. I am handling the switchboard today as well. And I want to give you that call-in number while I'm thinking of before we get on to the next phase of the show. And that guest call-in number in the States and Canada is 657-383-1534, and I am taking callers starting now. That's 657-383-1534. If you care to call in, and I am going to answer this caller right now. Hello, welcome to the Hypnotic Interventions Show.
Hi.
Hi, do you have a question?
Actually, I was someone who took your program. The 21 Days to Change Your Mind program.
You do sound awful familiar.
And I was listening to what you were saying about...
Go ahead.
Pardon?
Yes, no, thank you. Go right ahead.
I was listening to what you were saying about needing to have a burning hot desire for change. And I kind of wanted to throw something in on that.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So when you approached me about the 21 Days to Change Your Mind program, I didn't have a burning hot desire to change. I was, you know, I was more afraid of the change than I was of the fear that I was living with. But I had the knowing that it needed to change, that I had to do something to evolve myself and to change, and everything else I had tried hadn't worked. And when you presented me with the 21 Days to Change Your Mind program, I mean, you didn't push it on me. You said it was there, that I could partake in the program if I chose to. And I didn't have the burning hot desire to create the change, but I knew I needed to change it. So I wanted to maybe say that for the people who know it needs to change but aren't at that point of having the burning hot desire, that you are definitely the person that they would want to work with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great point, and thank you so much for bringing it up. What do you feel caused you to want to make that change? What was it that you felt happened? It may not have been a white burning hot desire, as I've said, and quite often it is that, because sometimes that's what it takes to bust somebody out of it. Unless you've lived with something for so long and it's been so depressing to you that life is just kicking you in the butt as a result of it. You know it's there, you know what it is, but you just don't know how to get rid of it. Would you say that was your case?
Yeah, for me it was the fact that the situation had begun to control my life. And I knew I needed, like, there was a part of me that knew I needed to change it, but there was also a part of me that was afraid to let it go. So I didn't have the burning hot desire to let it go. I was content with holding on to it for the rest of my life, letting it control my actions and my thoughts and every move that I made. But there was a part of me that was telling me, you need to let this go. You need to find a way to move past this. You need to find a way to get your life back, you know, to find your freedom from this situation again. And so that small part of me, and then you offering me the program, telling me that I could try the program if I wanted to, and, you know, I thought, you know, why not? Like, I should just do it. I know I need to let this go. I know that this needs to change. I'm afraid to let it go, and I'm afraid of the change. But what do I have to lose at this point? What, you know, I have everything to gain and nothing to lose. So I thought, okay, you know, I trusted you. You seemed like someone I could trust. So I thought, okay, you know what? I should try this. And, you know, if it doesn't work, I'm no worse off than I was before. But it did work.
Well, I thank you for that. And I thank you for the trust factor as well, because it does take a lot, folks, to want to make that change. And you've got to have a trust. And, you know, when you first start working with an interventionist or coach, you don't know unless the person's been referred to you. This is testimony right here. This is it. And I would say, remembering your case specifically, and thank you for calling in, by the way, I appreciate it, and as will the listeners, yours was a case of fear that the unknown might be worse than what you were dealing with the fear, but ultimately you realized that the fear, after we had the discovery session, was what the letters say, false evidence appearing real, which you didn't believe.
Absolutely.
In the very beginning. You didn't believe that in the beginning. You said, no, I actually have the fear. And you did have the fear. You will, folks. You will. If you have fear about something and you're scared, you have that reaction to something that causes, you know, how you act and how you feel in many different circumstances. And everybody's uniquely different. If you have the fear, if you tense up and you feel your heart going pitter-patter, like you're going to stop breathing, you need to do something about that. That's panic attack. Okay.
Yeah.
And when it gets to that point in your life, it's going to affect every bit of your body. And I think in your case, if I remember correctly, you said it was affecting your health.
Yeah, it was.
Yes. So, and,
so I wanted to tell people that if you don't have the burning hot desire, because most of us don't have the burning hot desire to change anything about our lives, but we have the knowing that it needs to change, then, you know, because, I mean, a lot of times we get offers from people, psychologists and counselors, and we're just like, no, you know, I'm good, I'm fine, I don't need to do this. But then in the back of your head, you're like, well, something needs to give, something needs to change. And you've kind of given up on all other aspects, you know, all of the counseling and the psychology that you've tried that hasn't worked in the past, and you just figure nobody can help you, which was where I was at. Nobody could help me. I was doomed to live with this for the rest of my life and to live in fear, and I became comfortable in that fear. But I knew it needed to change. Something needed to happen. And so it was the knowing that it needed to be different, that something needed to happen, that something needed to change. That's what drove me to try it, and I am so, so happy that I did.
Well, and I am as well, because it certainly has made a change in your life from our last discussion, as I remember. And you will also recognize, as much as you feel you didn't have that white-hot burning desire, you ultimately did have the desire. It became enough of a desire once you understood that there was a dead possibility. I mean, the percentages were way up and way high that you were going to be able to overcome this. And when you came down the other side, it was going to be a gentle come down because you were going to be relinquishing years and years and years, like the onion peeling the layers. And you were going to be back to who you really are, who you were born to be.
Yes.
Rather than having that stuff from the past crowding every back thought that you could ever think, anything that could ever happen. And you had a real good case of fear going. There's no question. And my hat's off to you and God bless because you did it. You did it. And folks, it's interesting. And if I might say, hypnosis is something that you actually do to yourself through a guided. I have the tools. I guide you. You actually hypnotize yourself. And the fact that we can do this on Skype, so you're in the comfort of your home, is a fantastic thing. And in your case, you recognize that over, I believe, three sessions that, this was going to happen. After your first session, you knew it was happening because we broke the ice.
Yeah, after the first session, I felt a difference, enough of a difference that I was like, holy crap, you know, this is going to be good. This feels good. And it was a little jarring at first because, like I said, after years of trying everything and nothing working, you kind of give up hope that anything can help you. You get into this mind frame that there's nothing anyone can do and you're just doomed to live like this for the rest of your life. But you're not, because the 21 Days to Change Your Mind program is designed for people like me. You know, people who are afraid of the change but know something needs to change and have tried everything else and nothing's worked and have given up hope. That's what 21 Days to Change Your Mind, it works. What it does for you. It gives you hope.
Oh, I'm humbled again. Thank you so very much. I just got the goosebumps in the hair. My here we go. It's just like we just finished a session, folks. That's how I felt when I heard that. Okay. That's what I get up to every day, the knowing that we can make a change. Coaches can make a change in your life. I know personally I can and I do. And it is a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And it's just great. So what do you think as far as now you've had some time since your last session? How is your self-worth now about yourself? How do you feel about that?
I am no longer ashamed of what I was ashamed of before. I no longer put blame on myself for the situation that occurred. And I no longer live in fear. I no longer live in fear of people finding out. I no longer live in fear of being judged or, you know, looked down on for what I've been through. I no longer live in fear of people judging me. And I no longer live in fear of, you know, history repeating itself.
You know, they say that.
And I can't tell you how amazing that is.
It is amazing. That is amazing. But that is a true fact, and that is what happens when you have finally gotten to that point where it has been released. That you can actually say what went on in your life and not feel, oh, the cringe. You know, and somebody's going to look at me and think less of me as a result. Bottom line, folks, is a lot of people have a lot of guilt about what they've lived in their lives and what they've been through. That is not their fault. It is not your fault. And some people say, well, it must be because I must have. I was in a situation where this happened. Therefore, I let it happen. But you know what? Life is like that. Does it mean you're at fault? No. It means that you were a victim of circumstance, so to speak, which is not a fun thing to think about, and it's not putting light on what was a tough situation, a very bad situation. And everybody is different than that. Everybody's going to say, well, yeah, I remember my situation. Oh, my gosh, well, I'd love to get rid of that thought. Well, you're not going to get rid of the thought. Proof positive is you don't get rid of it. It's how you think about it and what you're going to do with it now. How is it going to be allowed to
affect you? That after the 21 days to change your mind, the memory of what I went through has less of an impact on me than it did before.
Exactly. That's right. And that's the wonderful thing about it, because if it doesn't have the impact, it doesn't act like a trigger anymore.
Yeah.
And you'll remember me saying this. I say this to clients a lot. I use it because it provokes a little bit of fun and laughter. I say, I'm going to go into your mind and I'm going to use my shampoo and conditioner. And I'm a guy. I use different shampoo and conditioner than women use, you know. So, but I do. I use that shampoo. See, you're laughing right now because you did then too. And it is a little bit comical. Hey, is this guy going to go in and shampoo my mind, you know? And he's got good conditioner, and you can choose what smell it's going to have when it comes out, you know? But it's exactly what it is. It's the same thing as washing your hair. You know, you've got to wash it. You've got to change it. You've got to reframe. That's what we use in NLP. You've got to reframe that thought process. That's, you know, again, we go back to the computer. And if you think about the computer chip, if you've got a faulty chip, and maybe that's what was causing my old computer to act up, I don't know. Maybe it's just got old age syndrome. I really don't know. But there's something going on. Let's say the chip is bad. Well, it's not worth it to go in and replace the chip. Well, in the brain, you can't replace the chip. It's there. It's a permanent etched memory. So what are we going to do? We're going to reroute. We're going to make that thing not act the way it did. We're going to have it be not a trigger. We're going to cause it to have no reaction, so that when something comes up that normally would have triggered a thought process, you would have acted and then reacted to that was triggering, and you immediately would have gone to the fear factor again. You would have been fearful of your life. You would have been, well, all those things that I remember you spoke to me about in session, and now you don't have that. And that is just amazing. It's just wonderful. It's just so wonderful.
It is.
So your self-worth is improved. You don't have negative self-talk about yourself anymore. You don't feel that you have debilitating beliefs. You feel that what do you do now is positive and you can move forward. I can remember a lot that you've said to me since that you feel different about.
Yes.
That's excellent, excellent, excellent. So thank you so very much for calling in. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you, and I will talk to you again soon. I think we have a session coming up before too long, so we'll chat with you then. And you can stay right there in the background and stay on if you like, and if there's something else, I'll check back in with you if you like.
Okay, well, I'll probably just listen from my computer.
Okay, good enough. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's proof positive. And I am going to a commercial break right for the moment. Usually I do that 30 minutes past the hour. I've got 20 minutes, almost 22 minutes of showtime left. But I do need to do this commercial break for our network. And I thank you very much for being here with us today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And we've still got some more to go. We're going to talk about what are you worth and why do you want to know? And we'll be back in just a minute. Thanks.
Hey, amazing listeners. Thanks for listening to the I Am Radio TV Network. We are thrilled to have you with us. Are you potentially looking to step it up this year in your own business? And are you a coach, an author, or a speaker that could utilize that platform that we offer to provide you with a show and be a partner in our network? We have three levels of participation. We have the platinum level, which also is involved with a phenomenal mastermind once a month. We have the gold level and we have the silver level. If you would like more information on our levels of participation, and if you feel you're ready to take that next step and really boost your business and make an investment in you that's going to make a massive difference in your business, then please reach out and contact us. We'd be very happy to get back to you and send information to you for you to review. And once again, we thank you for being with us today and listening to the I Am Network.
And thank you. We are back. And most people say, hey, that's you doing those advertisements. How come you just don't do them live? Well, you know, I take a little break too. I grab another glass of water or something and just stretch my legs a little bit, you know, for the show. So that's why. And the fact that I do them is fun. And I have fun doing the voiceovers. It's a really good thing. So that said, let's get back to it. We've got just about 19 minutes of showtime left, a little longer. And I wanted to get right into this because people generally have a feeling of worth and you don't much think about it. Unless you're extremely depressed, unless you are down and out and there are really severe issues going on, you actually feel less than worthy to other people. You feel judged. You feel that you're being picked on. You feel like somebody's ready to kick you all the time. That is a sense of low self-esteem. And unfortunately, it's at its lowest because you just don't feel like you're worth anything. And sadly, you're not much worth to anything to anybody else. Therefore, relationships are less than what they should be if you have them at all. Friends are less than what they should be if you have them at all. Families, you know, there's all kinds of problems going on with that. If you think about it, there's a lot of stuff. Now, that all sounded pretty negative, didn't it? That's an unfortunate thing because we have to talk about it. A lot of people are living their lives like that today, all over the world. United States, Canada, it makes no difference where they are. Some people much worse than others. Some people actually live that every day because that's all they can do. We are actually lucky that some in these countries don't have to live that way, but do. Now, I've had arguments about that, and I don't choose to argue with anybody. But some people have said that's not true. My circumstances are such that that's the way I am. That's the way I have to live. That's the way it's been my whole life. Well, let me ask you a question. Don't you think you have a choice to make? Can you honestly say that there isn't something that you could do? Get help. Read a book. Do something. Get online. Go to the library. Find something that might help you start to change your mind. I don't think you couldn't say anything, but yes. Yes, there is. So basically what you're saying is, I don't feel worthy. So let's talk about that. It's an excerpt from my up-and-coming book, which I choose to get published as soon as possible. But I want to talk about it because we have a chapter about what are you worth. We constantly consider the worth of many things in our lives on a daily basis. Friends, family, loved ones, possessions, etc. However, how often do you consider what you are worth? Well, here's your chance to think about it. We call it cognitive dissonance, and it's a fancy couple of words, but really what it means, cognitive dissonance is a term used in modern psychology, and it's something that I have been studying, to describe the feeling of discomfort when holding two or more conflicting ideas, beliefs, or values. Let me say that again. When you are holding on to two or more conflicting ideas, beliefs, or values, it suggests that we have an inner drive, which is called our subconscious, and we prefer to call it the unconscious mind from a hypnotherapy point of view, that holds on to all of your beliefs and attitudes. And it does. That's where all your beliefs are, just back there in the computer. And they are there, and they are stored to avoid feelings of discomfort and instability. It was built into our DNA as humankind. That's the way we were designed. It's the way our brains were brought to be by our creation. We call this BS, the belief system. And this BS was and is a protection measure for us. The brain is pre-programmed to protect us from pain. It attempts to replace that pain with pleasure. That's really how it works from its primordial ways, its pain and pleasure syndrome. Sometimes people hold on to a belief system that is very strong. And the moment they are presented with evidence that works against that belief, the new evidence that was presented cannot be accepted. Now, that happens when I first talk to clients in the very beginning phase in the discovery session. Something comes up and I present them with a new operation system, let's say, of how they could change their mind and kick that habit that's really not good, and they don't want to accept it. And this is the why, cognitive dissonance. So to talk about it further, the unconscious or subconscious mind will attempt to override this conscious mind thought pattern. Again, because of the pain-pleasure theory, it's too difficult sometimes to change your mind than it is just to stay and hang on to the past. And our previous caller was a perfect testimony to that. And again, thank you so very much. So in other words, we fear the change. And again, the mind is protecting us from that fear of the unknown. It's a different fear. The fear that you're used to is feels better to you than the fear that you don't know, because you believe it must be fearful. You go to a scared point of view. So when presented again with the evidence that works against the negative belief system you've been living in for years, it has the potential to create a very uncomfortable feeling for the individual. This again is cognitive dissonance. And scientifically, that's what they call it. We can call it on a layman's term something else, but you know, for the sake of discussion today, it's what it is, so that when you're reading my book that will be coming out, you will actually see and hear this. So a powerful motive to maintain cognitive consistency can be give rise to the irrational behavior and thoughts. So if somebody's trying to help you to change your mind and you don't want to do it, you're going to act irrationally. You're going to have a behavior and your thought pattern is going to be that, hey, back off. I don't want to change my mind. It could be a friend. It could be a family member, somebody saying, hey, why don't you stop that? Why don't you, you know, act differently? You're going to have and you're going to give rise to an irrational behavior. It's just the way we behave. We hold many cognitions. And a cognition, by the way, is a thought. Okay. We hold many cognitions about the world, ourselves, and when they clash, a discrepancy in the mind is created, resulting in a state of tension. That's where you feel that gut feeling. Again, our BS, or our belief system, comes into play. The experience of the cognitive dissonance can be quite unpleasant. Therefore, we are forced to reduce or eliminate it, or we can choose to let go of the belief system we hold on to and open ourselves up to the new possibilities. Here is where I come in. Okay, you have the opportunity to make a conscious choice. It's making the unconscious choice that gets difficult. That is where 9 out of 10 people do need assistance. You need a coach to help you through that. That's why I created the 21 Days Change of Mind program. So today, scientifically, we've emerged into techniques that years past would have actually been considered voodoo or witchcraft. Who would have ever believed that hypnosis would be so prominent today? And it's not a sideshow act that you see on the stage and somebody laughing and giggling, although they do that. And I feel, unfortunately, it takes away from what hypnosis really is. It is, and it does it, and people have fun and they laugh and they think it's silly. The serious side of hypnosis and hypnotherapy is what I practice, okay? These techniques, believe it or not, are as old as we are, as humans mostly. They say that hypnosis has been around since the beginning of our time. There was a doctor years ago, his name was Dr. Mesmer over in Europe, and he was like the forefront in the European arena that, you know, they would say, hey, why don't you go see Dr. Mesmer and get mesmerized? And now the world knows the term mesmerized. Wow, I was mesmerized. I stared at something long enough, and I got mesmerized. That is hypnosis. It's nothing different than that. He just happened to be, his real name was Dr. Mesmer, and that's where that came from. So, as a matter of fact, so well now today that these techniques are looked down upon, the pharmaceutical companies are continuing attempting to hide the reality of them. The why is evident, and we call it big money in business, don't we? So, honestly, folks, these techniques are done with great effectiveness through and with hypnotherapy, NLP, and strategic intervention. And that's the three techniques I utilize and I have been trained in to help you overcome your debilitating beliefs, etc. So if you allow yourself to be hypnotized and then find out why you go to the negative emotions, this becomes very helpful and it gives you something to work on and fight against what's been held captive for so very, very long. I've had questions raised to me, well, what if I see or feel something that I don't like? What if I'm going to be sad? What if I'm going to feel unprotected, etc.? We get into that in that discovery session. I have not yet, and I can say this quite honestly and very happy, but not yet had one client feel fear as a result of the session. They actually felt relief. Some emotional, no question, some tears of joy, actually, that it was released. And then life actually changes and those lights come on. So it's quite interesting. So, you know, we live what we learn, and we learn what we live. Let's face it. When you think about your earliest childhood, what do you remember of it? You know, was it a positive experience? Was it a negative experience? There are some that can say, I remember it. It wasn't so good. I remember it. It was great. But then again, they have low self-esteem. And you say, well, if your childhood was so great, why do you have low self-esteem? Something happened. Somebody said something that tipped the scales for them and caused them to retain a memory, something that caused them to feel, again, going to the emotion of feeling less than worthy. Could have been when they got to school in their early adolescence. Could have been a bully on the playground. It's amazing what can cause the act of low self-esteem. Now, that's not to say that a healthy esteem level doesn't have some what we call facets of low self-esteem. It has to be a balancing act. You can't be constantly bopping around with a high, everything, you know, the world's all right and I'm all right and the world's all wrong is what they say. That can't be either. And I don't mean to make light of it. There has to be, it's a balancing act. Nobody is perfect. We have to exist in what we live That's how we learn. It is that constant making of mistakes. And people say, oh my gosh, how can you say that? Because it's true. A guidance system on a missile or a GPS that you use in your car or now your phone to travel somewhere is looking for the constant mistakes to be made so it can make immediate corrections. It projects by the mistakes that might be made. What if you get off at the wrong exit because you're going to make a pit stop? I got to get off the highway. We make a quick stop. Maybe we want to get a bite to eat. The GPS immediately knows that you've made a mistake and it makes the correction, doesn't it? Well, your brain is exactly the same way. It acts the same. And that's what happens. So it's amazing humanity has been programmed to believe so many different lies on so many different levels. You know, it's like we've been dumbed down, which is kind of sad. Today, the entire planet actually is going through a mass transformation. And one aspect of this transformation is to become transparent, meaning not to be invisible to society, not to fade into the woods and never be seen again because of the forest and the trees. It means that people are becoming real. People are starting to actually understand that, you know what, I'm okay. My life has not been perfect. I'm going to do the best I can to correct my past and to work with it because it really has made me the great person I am today. It has allowed me to become who I am today. And that's actually a beautiful thing when you come out the other side. Our previous caller, actually, if you were to talk to her further, she would say she can allude to that on a lot of different levels. So a few of these new truths that are emerging into consciousness of all human beings, they present challenges and it's sometimes fearful for the mind to take it all in. Again, most of us have been programmed for so long that we have learned what our parents were taught, and therefore that's what our parents taught us and or those people who may have raised you if you didn't have your parents. Anybody of an adult stature back when you were in the learning years, you listened to. If you think of a child's mind when you were young, or look at a child today from the age of birth as they start to walk and talk and do all that stuff, those are the learning years. On the discussion I had on the show last night when I was on the interview, it was very interesting that the show host actually went to a point of understanding that the habits that we have were from childhood. And I said, yes, exactly. What would be today with all the modern science and technology we have if somebody wasn't allowed to dream and visualize? But quite often you'll find that was taken away from you when you were a child. I know it was with me. They had a chance to poke me on the shoulder. I mean, I'm showing my age, but, you know, hey, wake up. Stop staring out the window. Stop looking over there. Pay attention to class. What's going on up on the board? You know, listen to the teacher. Well, there were moments in my life, and we've all been there and done that. I was bored silly sitting in school. So what did I do? I dreamed of other things I might be able to accomplish. I dreamed and focused on what I was going to get when I got out of that place. What was I going to do? And in fact, one of those dreams was to be a pilot and own my own aircraft someday. And I actually accomplished that. It took me a few years because it's a financial thing that just doesn't happen every moment of the day unless you're wealthy. And I wasn't. And I had to earn it. And I did it. And I accomplished it because I visioned it and said, I can do this. Well, you know what? You can also change your mind. You really can. It is possible. I have done it. My previous caller did it. And it comes into what you believe about yourself. You know, the quality of life is found in meaning. And what is the meaning of your life? And some people don't feel they have much meaning. But in retrospect, you really do. You know, life is not the challenges that you face, but the meaning that you give those challenges. What are you going to do with what you're faced with? You can handle it a couple of different ways. You can handle it by being meek and not handle it. Or you can grab it by the horns and say, you know what? This isn't going to change my life. I'm not going to allow it. I'm going to hit it full force. I'm going to get on it and take care of it. And why? Because we go to emotions. They can be negative or they can be positive. And sometimes even when you're working on something that you need to get completed, you can feel negative. You can feel that twinge in your gut like, oh my gosh, I've just got to get through this. But if you've got the drive, you've got the determination and the want and desire to get through it, you will. So therefore, emotions are actually the fuel of your life. The quality of your experiences depend on the quality of your emotions. So if you're in a healthy state of mind and your emotions are positive most of the time, then you can expect your life to be positive. You can expect that you will have, believe me or not, life is always a constant change. Something is always changing around you. There is nothing that sits still. You know, the existence itself, the universe doesn't sit still. Everything is in a constant state of perpetual motion. We are no different. Our bodies are no different. Even when we sleep, we're still moving. We're still functioning. Our heart's still going. Our brain's still thinking. So that being said, if life is in a constant change, life is also in constant growth. And there's one thing I learned from my mentor, Tony Robbins. He said this very simply. If you have no growth in your life, then you die. And a lot of people say, wow, I cease to exist. Maybe not physically, but you do mentally. If there's no growth going on, if you aren't picking something up and doing something to improve yourself every day of your life, it doesn't matter how simple it is. You've got to do something for yourself every day. So emotions can be controlled and transformed from a negative to a positive. So if you're feeling something negative, know that you can change it. You can go to you will learn. And after going through the program, 21 Days Change Your Mind, there will be things that come up because of this growth in life, because of the constant change in life, that are going to tax you. They're going to poke you and prod you and say, you know what, you used to think this way. But when you have learned that these emotions can be controlled and you don't go to them the way you used to, wow, what a change. Next show, we're going to get into what we call the six universal human needs that can be satisfied in a negative or positive way. And I am not going to go into them in their entirety today, but I want you to know that there's a great man by the name of Maslow, and he was amazing. And he wrote more than six. I think there was hundreds, actually. And I've not read them all. I'll be quite honest with you. The ones that I'm more interested in are from the point of a coach's perspective, a interventionist perspective. And those are the human needs level of the, you know, the six levels of human need. Human need psychology is what we call it. You have an opportunity next show to learn them. I'm going to go through a little testing period. I'll give you a little quiz, and you'll actually be able to sit for yourself. And if you'd like to, you'll be able to get more information from you that I'll send to you about the working with the six human needs. But let me just briefly go over them. We've got about 2 minutes of showtime left, and I'm going to close it up here. But I just want to say, here's what they are. The needs are that you want to consider certainty, uncertainty, significance, love connection, which is a combination, growth and contribution. And the growth and contribution are considered the spiritual needs. The first four are essential to human survival. The last two are essential to human fulfillment. So our focus will be on the meaning and physiology of the psychology, of the needs next show and other great topics. So that said, I want to talk to you about the next show coming up on the network, and it's going to be fantastic. And she's got a great guest. It's a Dr. Simone show coming up this next Tuesday. Mark your calendars at 9 Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. And Dr. Simone will be on with an amazing guest. And I'm not going to divulge anything more than that because you've got to come on and listen to it. This guest is fantastic. You don't want to miss the Dr. Simone show. And then on Wednesday next week, my sense was just telling me that I'm going to have to close the show in 90 seconds. My console just spoke to me. Excuse me. And on Wednesday, we're going to have the interactive interview show. We will have a special guest on our network interview show. So, folks, thank you so very, very much for listening to myself, Jeffrey Miller, the hypnotic interventionist today. It has been a pleasure to be with you. I hope you felt some worth from this show. Please tell your friends. Go to our page on Facebook. Like us, the Interactive Media Network, and on Facebook, the I Am Radio TV Network. Please look it up and check out our show host there, and the pages are all there for the links for the shows coming up. If you would like further information from me, again, www.21daystochangeyourmind. And I wish you a blessed rest of your day and a fantastic. I'll be back in 2 weeks from today with another great show. Again, anything you'd like to know in the meantime, let me know. Thanks, folks. Bye-bye.